There's a world famous machlokas between the Rambam, seemingly between the Rambam and the Ramban, about whether there is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean, mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? After we conquered Eretz Yisrael and kicked out the Zayin Amamim, were we able to go home? Or was there a chiyuv then to inhabit the land? The Ramban is a very, very strong lashon that he says, very, very clear lashon, and he says that we are commanded to not leave Eretz Yisrael in the hands of other nations, not to leave it shomeim, not to leave it desolate, but we have a mitzvah, independent of our chiyuv of being megaresh, the Zayin Amamim, of getting the Zayin Amamim out of the nation. We have a chiyuv to conquer the land, and conquering it means not only conquering it militarily, but also to settle it. The Rambam does not count in his Sefer HaMitzvos a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael or to settle Eretz Yisrael. There might have been a mitzvah, the Shah, at the time that Yehoshua went in, that they were supposed to rid the land of the Zayin Amamim, and there was a mitzvah of Kibush Haaretz, but that's not a mitzvah Lidoros. And certainly not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, seemingly according to the Rambam, is not a chiyuv ledoros. That's how the Megillas Esther explains. So if we wanted to just clarify the Lashonos here, the Ramban seemingly understands that this is a mitzvah that affects also the nation, but also the individual. On a national level, on a tzibur level, so his lashon is not to be ozev the land biyad acher. We have an obligation as a nation to settle the land, but it's also true on the yachid, right? You might say, okay, great. Listen, the Jews live in Israel. We're doing our mitzvah. The British aren't here anymore. The Arabs aren't here anymore. We have settled the land, so it's okay for me to live in Chutz Laretz. Says the Ramban, mitzvahs aseh ledoros, i.e., it's not l'shah. Mitzvah sase ledoros, mischayev kol yachid. Every individual has a chiyuv. V'afilu bizman hagolos. And even during the zman hagolos. And you hear in the words of the Ramban, even though the Ramban lived before the Megillas Esther, the parish on the Ramban, and on the Sefer HaMitzvos, really, the Rambam, that the Megillas Esther, who gives his explanation of the Rambam, you see where the way the Ramban formulates the mitzvah is really la'afuke, one who would want to say like the Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther says, the mitzvah was not ledoros, the mitzvah is not bizman agolos, the mitzvah was only bizman Moshe and Yoshua, and it will also be that way ad bo HaMashiach. In the lashon of the Megillas Esther, achar shegolu me'al admosam, once we were exiled from the land with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, ein mitzvah zu noheges ledoros ad eis bo HaMashiach. Until Mashiach comes, this mitzvah is no longer applicable. The Megillas Esther goes as far as to say that even all of the milos of Eretz Yisrael that are recounted in the end of Maseches Ksubis, the great statements about how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is, how great it is for someone to live in Eretz Yisrael, how beautiful it is for someone to live in Eretz Yisrael, he says even those don't apply nowadays. They only apply bizman habayis. Now that, as we pointed out, is very hard to argue in trying to explain the Shitas HaRambam, because the Rambam paskins l'halacha hakol mailin l'Eretz Yisrael. He paskins up that Gemara in Yisubis. So to try to say pshat in the Rambam that doesn't apply nowadays, the Rambam himself paskins that up. Okay. Let's turn to the Shita of Tosfos, because what I'd like to really address today is how does this sugya apply nowadays? It's very nice to learn a sugya as a theoretic discussion in the Gemara and Ksubis, but how does it apply l'maisa nowadays? So Shita number one, seemingly, the Ramban says it very clearly, even bizman agolos, nowadays, bizman agolos, even nowadays, there's a chiyuv on kol yachid v'yachid to live in Eretz Yisrael. Shita number one. Shita number two, the Rambam, at least the way that the Megillas Esther understands the Rambam, that there is no chiyuv nowadays to live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a great place. If the Middle East is your thing, so you can move to Eretz Yisrael. and there's probably Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Again, not necessarily halachic Kedusha, maybe, maybe not. That's going to be a sugya of Kitcha Lashaita, Kitcha Lasad Lavo. We paskin that Kitcha Shnia was Lasad Lavo. So there's probably Kedusha Eretz, and if we fulfill the Tanaim, there'll be mitzvah Satlios Baretz. But the mitzvah, or this idea of a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, is not a chiyuv. It's not even maybe a mitzvah at all. Shita of Tosfos. So Tosfos is commenting on that sugya in the end of Ksubis, and I'd like to take a few minutes to analyze the opinion of Tosfos. Tosfos on Kuf Yad Omid Beis, Dibra Meschel, who says Tosfos, Eino Noeg Bizman Azeh, De'ika Sakanas Terachim. What did Tosfos just say, Danny? What's it? Ah, thank you for falling into the trap. Right, good. Thank you. I appreciate that. We worked it out before, right? Yeah, we worked it out before. Seemingly, Tosfos is not saying that the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is not noeg bizman hazeh. Tosfos is commenting on the words hu omer lalos, vihi, and she doesn't want to go up. Seemingly, now you might not be wrong, Danny, but seemingly one could make the argument that Tosfos is specifically talking about the din of kofin. And this is something that we have to be sensitive to as we analyze the sugya. Is the sugya of kofin synonymous with the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael? Who thought yes? The Ramban. The Ramban, in his presentation of why he thinks it's a mitzvah, one of the things he says is, well, look at Ksubis, kofin. You could be kofa your wife to move to Eretz Yisrael. If she doesn't want to, you could divorce her without giving ksuba money. So you see that it's a mitzvah. Now, the response back is, you don't see it's a mitzvah. You see it's a really, really chush of a thing to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ad kedei kach, there's a din called kofin. But whether that's a mitzvah or not is not necessarily muchrach. So comes Tosfos and says, nowadays, because of sakanas drachim, it's very dangerous to travel. Right? Tosfos, let's say Tosfos is speaking from his own perspective. So Tosfos is living in France, Tosfos is living in Germany. So to travel from France, Germany to Eretz Yisrael requires crossing many countries, maybe hostile countries, maybe crossing water, depending on which route you take. And that could be dangerous, the seas, the open seas, you know, storms and pirates, exactly. So the Tosfos paskins, Eino noeg bizman hazeh, de'ika sakanas drachim. Meaning it could be that Tosfos holds, for sure there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. But does that mean you're allowed to force your wife to move there? Aliba de Gemara, yes. But nowadays, no, because of sakanas drachim. So that's what Tosfos seems to hold. I think there are just two ha'aras, and I'll take your question in 1 second. Two ha'aras that can be made. Number one is that seemingly he's dealing with the din of kofin. And that means he's paskining, unlike the Rambam. The Rambam paskined up the din of kofin in Mishnah Torah. He doesn't say anything about, oh, but maybe nowadays. The Rambam does every once in a while respond to his own time period. It's not, even though the Mishnah Torah is a book that was written Lidoros. How do I know that? How do I know the Rambam's Mishnah Torah was written Lidoros?
That's one of his requirements.
The
only mitzvah he counts are Lidoros.
No, that's in a Sefer Mitzvos. I'm talking about in the Mishnah Torah. So interesting, most of the Rambam's writings he wrote in Arabic, which indicates that he was writing it for his own culture. The Mishnah Torah he wrote in Hebrew. Now, it could be the reason he wrote it in Hebrew is because he realized that this was not a document, this was not a sefer that was going to only be for his generation. This was something that he was writing Lidoros. And the truth is, he included in the Mishnah Torah all the halachos that weren't even applicable in his time period. Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Karbonos. And in fact, someone asked me today, where in Shulchan Aruch do we find the halachos of Mitzvot HaTluyos Ba'aretz and Beis HaMikdash and Karbonos? They don't appear, a lot of these halachos, in Shulchan Aruch. We paskin in general based on the Rambam in many of these areas because there is no Shulchan Aruch in these areas. So the Rambam paskin lahalacha the din of kofin. So seemingly the din of kofin should apply nowadays, and we'll see that in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins that kofin does apply and then brings us the Yesh Omrim, this opinion of Tosfos. That's number one. Number two, seemingly Tosfos is talking about in his time period. He's not talking about all the time of Golos. Right, the Megillas Esther said, the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and also this din of kofin, all of this stuff, ksubis, all of this stuff, it doesn't apply except Bizman Abayis, but not Bizman Agolus. If the Megillas Esther was really including all of Ksubis in that as well. Here, Tosus is not saying that. Tosus is not saying it doesn't apply in Golus. He says it doesn't apply now. I mean, let's say Danny's right. Let's say Tosus was talking about the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not the din of Kofin. It was a bigger statement. It was about all the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is this a raya that Tosus holds like Megillas Esther? No. Because Tosus is not saying it doesn't apply Bizman Golus. He says it doesn't apply right now in 1215 in France because there's Sakanis Drachim. What if there was no Sakanis Drachim? Let's say there's an international treaties and there's an express flight right from France to Eretz Yisrael. Would Tosa still say, oh, the mitzvah doesn't apply because there's Sakanis Drachim? There's no Sakanis Drachim. So even the statement of Sakanis Drachim means that it's a technical issue. It's not fundamental that there's no mitzvah of whether it's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or if it's the din of Kofin. But then Tosfos continues. But let me first address Shlomo's question.
It didn't seem like Tosfos was talking about mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because then he ends up quoting the next thing that he quotes is, oh, by the way, Reb Chaim says that oh, mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not Noach Ledoros.
Good, excellent. So let's get to that right now. And well, let's see. Let's read it inside. Then let's see what we could be medayik. So the question is what I think you guys are arguing over is the V'hayu Omer Rabbeinu Chaim a support for what he just said, or is it a related topic and therefore he says, oh, and by the way, you should know that. So let's see. Says Tosfos continues. V'hayu Omer Rabbeinu Chaim. Rabbeinu Chaim was Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. He was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. Vayomer Rabbeinu Chaim, de'achshav eino mitzvah lador beretz Yisrael. So first of all, it sounds like when you read Tosfos here, that either he originally was talking about mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's bringing support by quoting Rav Chaim. That's what Justin was suggesting. Or he was really talking about the din of Kofin, but you know what? The din of Kofin is predicated on the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban said. You know why there's a din of kofin? You know why you could force your spouse? Because it's a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, you should know that the din, which meaning that which flows from the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply nowadays because it's a kind of drachim. But more than that, Rav Chaim said even the ikar din, mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply nowadays. Why? Vayomer Rabbeinu Chaim, de'achshav ein mitzvah lador beretz Yisrael, ki yesh kama mitzvos atzlios baretz. There are many mitzvos which are tzlios baretz. The kama onshim, the ain't on the yichom lizarben v'lamor aleim, and it's just too hard to keep all these mitzvahs properly, and therefore the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply nowadays. So there's a lot to analyze here within the words of Rav Chaim. First of all, what does he mean that there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? He means that there's no mitzvah. That's interesting. Like, what's the mechanism that removed the mitzvah? Like, if it's impossible to get tzitzis strings where you live, does that mean that there's no mitzvah of tzitzis? Or that means that you can't do the mitzvah of tzitzis because you can't get tzitzis strings. You can't do it. Right? That's not such a great example because there are cases, just don't put on a four-corner garment. But the point that I'm trying to make is Rav Chaim saying that there's no mitzvah? Or he's saying that there is a mitzvah, but there's a patur because you're an onus. You're an onus because there are so many mitzvahs that are hard to keep there, and therefore you're not chayiv in the mitzvah. That statement itself also needs to be analyzed. What in the world is the connection between mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah Satlios Baretz? Seemingly, it's two different things. You want to tell me that I don't have to do the mitzvah Satlios Baretz because it's too hard? Okay, we could discuss that. But don't tell me that, meaning, you want to tell me don't go to Eretz Yisrael because then you're going to have to keep Trumos and Maestros and it's too hard. So that's very nice rabbinic advice. And Beseder, if you're my Rebbe, I'll listen to you. It's too hard. But why does that mean that there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? What in the world does the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael have to do with the fact that it's hard to keep mitzvahs at Tlios Baretz? It's two different things, seemingly. So what's pshat in Rabbeinu Chaim? Meaning, I understand Rav Chaim said, don't go to Eretz Yisrael now, it's too hard. Okay, but that doesn't mean that there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Ella, what's the pashtus? That l'chora, what Rav Chaim is saying, is that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is built upon mitzvah Satlios Baretz. We'll see in 1 second. Perhaps, perhaps not. Let's wait 1 second. We'll see. What does that mean? That means that Yesh Lachkor, is there an independent mitzvah called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that your Mekayim has nothing to do with mitzvah of Tlius Baretz? Let's say there's, you're not going to be Mekayim mitzvah of Tlius Baretz. Still, there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. For instance, it could be many mitzvahs of Tlius Baretz are only knowing, at least Midiyoraisa, once there's Rov Kla Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Until that point, there's no mitzvah Dioraisa, let's say, of Truma. So, certainly, let's say in 1949, 1950, 1951, rove Jews in the world were not living in Eretz Yisrael. So, was there a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? There's no mitzvah of Tlius Baretz at that time, Midiyoraisa. Or at least, let's, again, it could be other ones, yes. But let's talk about Truma. So, let's say there's a reality where there's no mitzvah of Tlius Baretz applicable. Are you still in the kind of mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So it could be that Rav Chaim learned that the whole mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is all in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Tlius Baretz. We already said this as a possible pshat in the past in trying to give pshat in the Rambam. How come the Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah? So the Beis HaLevi had said that maybe because Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is only a hechsher, excuse me, is only a hechsher in order to do the mitzvah of Tlius Baretz. So is that what Rav Chaim is learning? Rav Chaim is learning that the whole mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is really only there in order to keep the mitzvah Satzluyos Baretz. It could be that that's pshat in what Rav Chaim is saying, but there are a couple of problems. First of all, the Ma'arid has just a very interesting, what's the right word? A tough guy, if that's respectful to say that to the Ma'arid, a tough guy attitude towards Rav Chaim. His response is, what's the big deal? So keep the mitzvahs. What do you mean it's hard to keep the mitzvahs? Okay, who said it's easy? So it's hard. So, you know, be a man and do the mitzvahs, right? He says, what's the problem? Buy a house, plant things, and you'll take off trumos and maestros. What's so hard? In fact, there are other things that we sort of associate as mitzvahs with Tlius Baretz, like arla. I mean, things that have to do with produce and food. And I mean, you tell me, oh, we're really poor and we can't afford to give 1/50th of our produce to truma. Well, there are mitzvahs of Arla, which also require you to not eat certain produce at certain times. And we do those in Chutz Laretz, and we survive. So be a man and do the mitzvahs. What is this? Oh, it's too hard, and therefore I'm not doing it. Be a man and do them. That's Ara number one, the Ma'arit makes. The other issue with this is that it is hard to say that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is directly linked with the mitzvahs of Tlius Baretz. And this is going to bring us to the Meshech Chochmah. There's a Gevaldik Kasha that really is a Kasha on the sheet of the Ramban. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing at Arvos Moav, and he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara tells us, Chazal quote, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nis'ave. He had a desire to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Satluyos Ba. He wanted to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Tluyos Baretz, which seemingly means Trumos and Maestros. What do you mean? How about he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Raya that there's no mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. If there was really a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, say, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael? Because he wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. Not because he wanted to take off Trumos and Maestros. So the Meshech Chochmah comes and saves the sheets of the Ramban. And says, no, I'll give you a different reason why the Gemara doesn't say it's because he wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because he already was Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean he already was Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? Because in Arvos Moav, you're also Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How can that be? They haven't crossed over the Jordan yet. So we know that there are different borders to Eretz Yisrael. They're the borders of Parshas Maaseh, which give very limited borders. But they're the much larger borders that were promised to Avraham Avinu. Even within the times that Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, when they came out of Mitzrayim, the Olei Mitzrayim conquered certain areas from the Canaanite nations under Yehoshua. That was a very large area. David HaMelech continued that. He conquered Syria and Lebanon. But then there was Chorban HaBayis. The Jews went to Bavel. They came back with, who took them back? Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, they came back under the leadership of these great people, and they reestablished a settlement in Eretz Yisrael. That's called the Olei Bavel, the people who came out of Bavel, and their settlement was much smaller. They didn't reach the same boundaries that the Olei Mitzrayim had reached. So this is a big kasha. Where are you Mekayim? What's considered Eretz Yisrael? Al pi halacha. There's so many halachas that have to do with Eretz Yisrael. Besides living in Eretz Yisrael, there's things from Bayis HaMenuga, right, in Yoni Dioma for the Parsha. Bayis HaMenuga, a house that has tzaras, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha is only given in Eretz Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh is only done in Eretz Yisrael. Egla Rufa is only done in Eretz Yisrael. There's a million things that have to do with Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam in Gittin. There's a million things that are connected to Dafka Eretz Yisrael. Burial in Eretz Yisrael. Someone wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. What's considered Eretz Yisrael? To get the, to chop the mile of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. There are many, many halachos that have to do with Eretz Yisrael. So, says the Meshech Chachma, Al Karcha, what do you see? Not that there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Of course there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What do you see? That Moshe Rabbeinu in Transjordan, as we refer to it, was Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, by being there already. He already was Mekayim Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And he brings a raya. From who? The B'nai God and the B'nai Reuven. The B'nai God, the B'nai Reuven, what did they say to Moshe Rabbeinu? We don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, we want to stay here on this side of the Jordan. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, Beseder, so come fight with us, help us conquer the land, and you can go back and settle here. Do you think they were being Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or not? Of course they were. If they weren't being Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would have said to them, what do you mean? We're supposed to go into the promised land. We're supposed to live in the Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash. You're living in Chutz La'aretz. Were the B'nai God and B'nai Reuven living in Chutz La'aretz? No, they weren't living in B'nai Chutz, in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, they weren't in mainland Eretz Yisrael. But they were still being Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The truth is that there's a very interesting Ramban about this, also in the very beginning of Gittin. The Gemara, Mishnah in Gittin, outlines the borders of Eretz Yisrael regarding the Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta. Something that needs to be said if you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you have to say, or Chutz La'aretz, Chutz La'aretz, you have to say Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechta. The Gemara, the Mishnah there outlines the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and it says Ashkelon and Akko, they're all out of Eretz Yisrael. So, from Ashkelon, including Ashkelon and south, from Akko and north, that's all considered Chutz La'aretz. So the Ramban asks, wait a second, how can that be? We know that the Pesukim in Yoshua and Shoftim, they speak about Akko and Ashkelon as being part of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, we all know those cities, Akko, Ashkelon, those are all part of Eretz Yisrael. So how can they not be in Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban has one or two answers, but one of his answers that he says is that in Achanami, you know why they're not part of Eretz Yisrael? Because when the Olei Bavel came back, they didn't reconquer or resettle Ashkelon, and they didn't resettle Akko. And yet, you see that the Amorim were kissing the stones of Akko. How can that be? Because even though the Kedusha wasn't chal there, the Kedusha Shnia, the Olei Bavel, is what imbues the dirt with Kedusha. A plant that grows, a fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael, has Kedusha Sa'aretz. You have to take off Trumos and Maisos because that's Kedusha Sa'aretz. That's all dependent on the Olei Bavel, the second settlement of Eretz Yisrael. So the Kedusha Shnia, that second Kedusha that was brought when they came back from Bavel, that Kedusha is Liyasad Lavo. And you know what? Ashkelon and Akko, they might not have that Kedusha. So Chumos and Maestros might not be Noheg there. But what still remains? What still remains from the original Kedusha? The Chiba and the Kedusha, the Inyan Yeshivasa Vidirasa. The Kedusha and the Chiba of Eretz Yisrael as it relates to dwelling in the land of Israel. Meaning the Ramban here has a fascinating theory. And this is obviously, we have to understand the Ramban on the context of his Shita, that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says that when Yoshua conquered the land, the Olei Mitzrayim, they imbued Eretz Yisrael with two forms of Kedusha. One was what some refer to as the Shem Eretz Yisrael. It gave Eretz Yisrael this general Kedusha. And anywhere you live in that area, you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And a second level of Kedusha was that the dirt itself becomes holy. Things that grow there get Kedusha Sa'aretz and the mitzvah Sa'atlius Sa'aretz apply. But when Klal Yisrael was exiled and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz. But which one? Now that Kedusha came back when they resettled, and then it stayed forever. But when they resettled with Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel, they settled a much smaller area. Says the Ramban, this whole Kedusha that was Batel, and then it came back, but it only came back in smaller amounts, that's all talking about the second level of Kedusha. The Kedusha in the Karka. The Kedusha which triggers an afkamina for Mitzvos Atzlios Baretz. But when it comes to the Iker Shem Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha that defines where living in Eretz Yisrael is, that was based on the original Kiddush Aretz, and that was never Batel. That remains until today. So this Ramban works very beautifully with the Meshech Chachma, that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies in the broader borders of Eretz Yisrael, not only in those smaller, more local borders of the Olei Bavel. And what is significant for our sugya is that you see that there's this bifurcation, this chiluk between the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvah Satzluyos Ba and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Lagabe, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, don't tell me, Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, or don't tell me that that's the pshat in what he was saying, that the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is inextricably linked with the mitzvah Satzluyos Baretz. No, it's two different sugyas. There's a sugya of mitzvah Satzluyos Baretz, and there's a separate sugya called living in Eretz Yisrael. So this pshat in Rabbeinu Chaim, that that's what he meant, that the mitzvah itself doesn't apply because the mitzvah is linked to the mitzvah Satzluyos Baretz, as we see, there are some challenges with having a pshat like that. So let's give a different pshat in Rabbeinu Chaim, which I think is the more likely pshat. What Rabbeinu Chaim means is not that there isn't a mitzvah nowadays in the sense that the mitzvah doesn't apply. Because as I said, what would be the mechanism? And don't tell me the mechanism is, oh, because it's connected to the mitzvah of Leos Baretz. Rather, what Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen meant was that nowadays there's a patur. Of course there is a mitzvah. But, you know, you would say sort of say that in English. Someone would say, oh, do I have a mitzvah nowadays? No, you don't have a mitzvah. It doesn't mean there isn't fundamentally a mitzvah. It means you're pater because of an onus. What's the onus? That it's so hard to keep the mitzvah satzluyos there. So l'chora, what he means is that there isn't a chiyuv. Now, does that mean that if I would go and live there, I'm not mekayim a mitzvah? Of course there's a kiyum a mitzvah still. It doesn't uproot the kiyum a mitzvah, but it means that there isn't necessarily a chiyuv. Now the Maharit writes an amazing thing about this Rabbeinu Chaim. And he says that he found in the Mordechai, when this Rabbeinu Chaim is quoted, that Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen there doesn't say anything about mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. His entire statement is all about the din of Kofin. Right? Danny, we started by saying, maybe the whole Tosfos is talking about the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The first statement and the statement by Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Now the Maharit is arguing, no. The whole Tosfos is not about the mitzvah. The whole Tosfos is about the din of Kofin. The first opinion in Tosfos said, Kofin doesn't apply because of Sanakadus Jerachim. And that's really what Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen said. That was really Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Oh, what's this last thing that was written that we have in our Tosfos that Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen said the mitzvah doesn't apply because it's too hard to keep the mitzvos nowadays? Says the Maharit, that was something added in by a later Talmud. That wasn't really Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Tosfos never said that. And in fact, he says, I have a raya. I found Rabbeinu Chaim quoted elsewhere in the Hagos HaMordechai. And in the Hagos HaMordechai, it's quoted Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen that all he was saying was that the din of Kofin doesn't apply because of the Sakanas Drachim. So when the dust settles, we have the sheet of the Ramban. There's a mitzvah, even nowadays. The sheet of the Rambam, according to the Megillas Esther, there is not a mitzvah. The sheet of Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, which seemingly holds for sure there is a mitzvah. He agrees with the Ramban. It's just that maybe there's a patur nowadays because of either Sakanas Drachim or because it's too hard to keep the mitzvah Satzlios Baretz. But again, that would be very much dependent on his time period and not necessarily apply to us nowadays. Lehalacha. So when you look in Shulchan Aruch, as we already quoted in Eben Ezer, Siman Ayin Hey, so at the end of the Siman, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din of Kofin, that Kofin applies nowadays, and then he quotes the Yesh Omrim that the din of Kofin does not apply nowadays. Now, as we already pointed out, this really doesn't necessarily have to do anything with the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Although in the Beis Shmuel, he does say, oh, you should know, there's a machlokes, if nowadays the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies nowadays. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen says that it doesn't, but the Rosh says that it does. But the Taz keeps the discussion all about the din of kofen. Right? The Beis Shmuel is the one who opens it up to maybe it also has to do with the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. The Taz says, no, this whole discussion is about kofen and the Pischei Tshuva. We wouldn't have looked at the Shulchan Aruch necessarily if it wasn't for this Pischei Tshuva. There is a grand slam Pischei Tshuva in the sugya. A real slam dunk, touchdown, overtime goal, amazing Pischei Tshuva in the sugya, where he's really just quoting a tshuva from the Me'il Tztach. The Me'il Tztach was of Yonah Landsofer, and he was a rav in German lands in the 1700s. And he had a fascinating shiloh. There was a group of people that wanted to together. You know, they were going to make aliyah together and go to Eretz Yisrael. And apparently it wasn't so clear if that was the right thing to do. And the Beis Din told them not to do it. The Beis Din paskan that they shouldn't do it because it's a sakana. And especially for their children, it's a sakana. Sakana's drachim, as Tosfos says. And they still wanted to go, even though their local Beis Din ostered them from going. So they wrote to the Me'il Tztach and they said, what shall we do? So it's amazing. If you understood the words of the Me'il Tztach, it's really an amazing tshuva. He says, don't listen to Beis Din. Go. What do you mean? He says, first of all, there is a mitzvah. He says, the Ramban says there's a mitzvah. And this whole Rav Chaim Cohen thing that it's not a mitzvah, it's a tos, he never said it. Look in the Ma'arit, he didn't really say it. He was talking about a kofin, he was talking about Sakanas Drachim. He wasn't talking that there's no mitzvah nowadays because of mitzvah Satulios Baretz. He says, therefore, Beis Din cannot tell you not to make a mitzvah. If Beis Din tells you not to make a mitzvah, you don't listen to them, just like you don't listen to your parents if they tell you not to do a mitzvah. He said, so it's a mitzvah and you should go, which is an amazing statement. Because when we say it's a mitzvah, we think of it as like, okay, it's nice if you go, but if there's a chiyuv, yeah, and if you shouldn't listen to Beis Din, ad kedei kach. And he says, and if you want to tell me, oh, it's a sakana, he said, okay, listen, if it's a sakana, you're patur from any mitzvah that's a sakana. It has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. If putting on tefillin is a sakana snafashas for someone to put on tefillin, I don't know, they have an arm ailment, and if they put on their tefillin, they're going to die, so you don't put on your tefillin. So yeah, in a chanami, if there are, we know that there's a real sakana, and there's pirates, and there's this, and there's that, and you're going to get killed, possibly. So it's a chshash pekuach nefesh, so you don't have to go, you're pater. But why should we just automatically, just because Tosfos said in the 1200 that there's a sakana, what does that mean us living in Germany in the 1700s can't go to Eretz Yisrael because there's a sakana? So this whole idea also of the sakana of the children, say, I don't know exactly what you mean. Like, he said, children are fine. We're not talking about like a disease that maybe, you know, harms children more than others. So we're talking about traveling. Like, if the boat's going to sink in the middle of the ocean, the adults are just as in danger just as much as the children are. If we're talking about pirates, you know, pirates don't have, you know, better forces against children than they do against adults. If there's a sakana, there's a sakana for adults and for children. If there isn't, there isn't. So, meaning, now you could start arguing, no, but maybe it's cold and the kid. That's not the point. The point is that the Me'il Tztach is saying we need to be done on this based on what's the reality of our day. Now you could start arguing with him and saying, like, no, maybe it is more dangerous for kids. But that's not our point. Our point is that the Me'il Tztach's operating principle here is Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, if he even said it, said in a very specific context, France in the 1200s. Nowadays, if we're in Germany in the 1700s, or if we're in the 21st century in the United States, we have to be done. Is it really sakanas drachim to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because if that's the only thing that potters us from moving to Eretz Yisrael, so, I don't know, it's not so dangerous to take an LL flight. Especially if you just took like three flights to Florida and Cancun and Switzerland. So you can't tell me that the sakanas drachim to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, he does add one other point, which is a very critical point for us nowadays. And he says, but before you run and don't listen to Beis Din, I think there's another point that needs to be brought up. And that is that it's great to get to Eretz Yisrael, but can you live in Eretz Yisrael? And he makes reference to a Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen is also fascinating just from like a historical perspective as well, besides the halachic element to it. Trumas Hadeshen was asked about going to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Trumas Hadeshen is closer to the Balei Tosfos. You can even argue it's the really end of the period of the Balei Tosfos. Or not really Balei Tosfos, but the Poskei Ashkenaz. Certainly before the Me'il Tztach and closer to the Balei Tosfos. And he saw himself as a continuation of the Balei Tosfos. And he writes, or at least the German ones, and he writes, well, that's not even true, Rabbeinu Tam as well. He really sees himself in that camp. And the Trumas, seemingly. And the Trumas Hadeshen writes that, I don't know about danger to get there, but once you're there, he said, first of all, the Jews that live there, and it seems like he's referring to the Sephardic community that was there. The Sephardic community there is not so nice to Ashkenazim that show up. He said, so like, you got to be careful. That's number one. Number two, that was in his day, obviously. Number two, he said the Arabs that are living there are really vicious. So it's very nice to make aliyah, but if you're going to be getting attacked from Achenu Anshei Sfard on one side and the Arabs on the other side, I'm not so sure it's such a great idea for you to go there. And especially if you're not going to have any parnasa. And that's what the Mi'il Tzedakah points out. The Mi'il Tzedakah says, and it's interesting, he says, parnasa berevach. Parnasa berevach means, it doesn't mean like barely getting by. It means that you can live there. You can live there. Now, if you say like, well, I have three Teslas, and in Eretz Yisrael I'm only going to be able to have two Teslas, so I don't think that's what we're talking about. But it means that, you know, to just barely survive is not the goal here. So it's interesting. So much of the discussion in the Rishonim until now has been like, well, can you make it to Eretz Yisrael? So kind of strachim. The Mi'il Tzedakah says it's not only about making it there, it's about being able to survive while you're there. And he makes an extra additional point, which is there's no mitzvah to move to Eretz Yisrael and then be supported by Tzedakah. It's a great, a very powerful statement. If you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, you got to go to Eretz Yisrael and be able to support yourself. To say I'm going to Eretz Yisrael to be Mekayim the mitzvah Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, but then you're going to need Tzedakah, he says that's not the goal of the mitzvah. Therefore, you have to make sure, and if we wanted to speak about this in more modern terms, so it means education for my children, parnasa, a tzibur that I'll feel comfortable with. And he even has a line there about how the ikker is not just to get to Eretz Yisrael. The ikker is to be Oved Hashem. If you can't be Oved Hashem there, so then you shouldn't be going there. You go if you're going to be able to be Oved Hashem there. Hold on 1 second on the questions. In this context, I'm doing it out of order, even though structurally we probably should have looked at this earlier. Because you'll see in a second why, because it's a real another direction in understanding the mitzvah legamre. Someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein about moving to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, a very interesting ha'ara. He says, for sure, the halacha is like the Ramban. There's a mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. For sure. But it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not a mitzvah which is an obligation. It's a mitzvah that if you do it, you're mekayim a mitzvah. But you don't have an obligation to do it. And he says it has to be, because if it was an obligation, then it would be usser to live anywhere else. Because if you live anywhere else, you'd be mevatel and aseh. So if you were living anywhere else, you'd be mevatel and aseh. So it can't be that it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. The Rambam writes explicitly, again, I know that's the Rambam, but the assumption is that there's no isser to live in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, there's an isser to live in Eretz Mitzrayim. But there isn't an isser to live in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, Rav Moshe has a very interesting shita, which is sort of a third shita, meaning the way we've been sort of presenting it. The Ramban says it's a mitzvah, and it's a mitchayev al kol yachid v'yachid. Sounds like it's a chiyuv. Mitzad sheni, let's say the Rambam, according to the Megillas Esther, there isn't a mitzvah. Rav Moshe is in the middle. You're mekayim a mitzvah, even nowadays b'zman agolos, but you don't have a chiyuv to move to Eretz Yisrael. So if we assume, again, if we understand Dvarim Kipshutim, so the Ramban seems like he's saying that there's a chiyuv. The Ramban, at least according to Megillas Esther, that there is not a chiyuv. There isn't a mitzvah. There isn't even a mitzvah. Maybe not even a kiyum mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And according to Rav Moshe, there isn't a chiyuv. So I agree with the Rambam that there isn't a chiyuv. But I don't agree with the Rambam, because if you do go and you live there, you're mekayim a mitzvah. Okay, a very interesting nafkamina, or just another place where the sugya rears its head, is regarding Amir al-Nachri for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and it's this famous sugya in Gittin and Daf Ches. The Gemara there says that you're allowed to do Amir al-Akum to tell, if you want to buy a house off of a guy in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to do Amir al-Akum to tell him to write up the shtar in order to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael. Now, interestingly, when it's justifying Amir La'akim, which is normally an Isser D'Rabbanan, so the Gemara says, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And again, we'll be Madaik. It doesn't say Mishum Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It just says Mishum Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. However, if you look at Tosos over there says, Aval Mishum Mitzvah Cheres Lo. But for a different mitzvah, what do you mean a different mitzvah? It implies that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. You should know this is a special mitzvah. And for a different mitzvah, we wouldn't allow you. So there's what to perhaps be medayik and tosos over there that certainly implies that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Rashi over there says something very interesting. Rashi says, why are you doing this? In order, you're buying the house to be megarish, the goyim from Chutz Laretz, from Eretz Yisrael, and in order to settle Jews, both. It's interesting, if I would have held Rashi in Gittin to Rashi's Perish on Chumash, so if you remember, in his Perish on Chumash, when the Pasuk says, well, Rashi Masaretz, Yishavta Ba, so Rashi said, the real Indian is just to get the goyim out. But then there'll be this haftacha that you'll get to live there. Here, when he's explaining why you're doing it, he says, to get them out, and so that you can then dwell there. So it's just interesting that he throws that in, because if he was really, if we're really holding him to the halachic statement of what he made in the Perish on Chumash, it's really just to get them out. There isn't necessarily a mitzvah to dwell there. But Rashi says to get them out in order so that we can dwell there. And that's a very interesting thing. Like, for instance, would this halacha apply then if I wanted to buy a house off of a Jew, let's say in Ramat Beit Shemesh? So seemingly not. It's only, what do you mean? That's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I live in Chutz Laretz, and I want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So can I sign the deal? You know, I'm in New Jersey for Shabbos, and I meet a guy who tells me he lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I say, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my work, and I've got this house in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I really got to sell it already. And I say, oh, you know what? I'm so inspired. I want to make Aliyah right now. Sell me your house right now, with Shabbos. So can I do it? For the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to be Makai in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to book a flight, Motzei Shabbos, and go and move into my new house in Ramat Beit Shemesh that I bought right now. And I say, oh, let's do it after Shabbos. He says, oh, I can't do it after Shabbos. I have to leave. I'm walking to the other side of town for Shaul Shittus, and then I'm going from there to Detroit. This is it. This is my chance to buy the house. Seemingly, there isn't a hetter. Oh, but it's Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. No, but part of Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is to get them out so that we can get in. So if it's buying from a Jew, seemingly it sounds like from Rashi not. L'halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and there's a big discussion because the Ramah says it's only if the shtar is written in the ksav of the goyim. Why? Because then it's amir la'akamana derabanan. Why is it amir la'akamana derabanan? Because there's a shita from the Or Zeruah. There's a shita from the Or Zeruah that the malacha of ksiva is only in Isra D'Oraisa when it's done in ksav Ashuris, in Hebrew letters. But if it's done in another language or other letters, so then, like Cyrillic, so then it wouldn't be a Isser D'Oraisa. So since it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, and it's a Mirla Akam, which is a D'Rabbanan, it's allowed because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So you see, first of all, that a Mirla Akam is not so pashut on Shabbos. Mirla Akam applies by a D'Oraisa, even applies by a D'Rabbanan. Because the only heter here is because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now the Mishnah Berurah quotes this and says, this Or Zeruah that the Ramah is quoting is a Das Yachid. We don't paskin this way. Make sure you, if you're like half sleeping or if you've been sleeping the entire time, just make sure that you don't leave with this mistaken impression. We paskin the halach, the Mishnah Berurah says, that even ksiva in non-ashuris is an Isser D'Oraisa. It's not, it's always ksiva D'Oraisa, whether you write in Hebrew or in ashuris or in other languages. But we hold the Maisa, even though it's an Isser D'Oraisa, it's still going to be allowed here. Why? Because of this special mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So making the shita of the Ramban that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, seemingly, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah here, seems like it's being paskened in Shulchan Aruch here regarding this halacha. And we've seen a bunch of nafkamina now. There's a nafkamina about listening to Beis Din or listening to your parents. There's a nafkamina perhaps about kofin. If kofin is dependent on it being a mitzvah, it might be a nafkamina here for Amir La'akum, for making a kinyan on Shabbos for mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And I think just to conclude the sugya, we have 2 minutes just to really conclude, I think, as we celebrate here in the Yeshiva Yom Ha'atzmaut, so besides, you know, just like dancing and having fun, you know, and wearing white shirts, I think that the deeper avoda is to think about the role of Eretz Yisrael in your life. And when I say the role of it, I don't mean just like of Sachazana and Ina B'Shuvchot Zion B'Rachamim, you know, we daven every day. But actually to think about the question of living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I know it's not necessarily practical right now. You're not deciding where to live right now. But If you have never thought about it before you get married, and then you and your wife say, okay, where should we live? So you're not going to have a deep and well-developed approach to the issue. And everyone, I remember someone asked me once, will I only go out, when I was dating, someone asked, will you only go out with a girl who wants to live in Eretz Yisrael? So I said, yes. So he said, oh, really? You're like for sure living in Eretz Yisrael? I said, no. But I only want to date a girl who wants to live in Eretz Yisrael. She might realize that it's not practical, it's not going to work out, but I don't want to date a girl who says, like, why would I want to live in Eretz Yisrael? Living in Eretz Yisrael, as you see here, I mean, we're getting into, like, diunim about, is it a sakana, is it not a... It's very clear, unless you're the Megillus Esther, but to everybody else, and everyone seems to be posketing this way, it's very clear to basically all these Rishonim and Achronim that if you have the opportunity, you know, if you took the Me'il Tzedaka and you showed him a nice, single-family, big house in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and you said to him, like, here, this is how you could, and you open up the fridge, and the fridge is stocked with, like, any meats you want. You have a nice car or two in the driveway. You know, your kids have their basketball leagues after school. Friday afternoon, Ramat Beit Shemesh, there's a baseball little league in the big park in Ramat. If they see the way that we could live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, it's very clear from the sugya that it wouldn't even be a shaila. It wouldn't only be, except for the Megillus Esther. It wouldn't be a shaila. It would be pashut. Of course you live in Eretz Yisrael. You're barely giving it. You know, you can buy Costco items now in Eretz Yisrael. Kirkland, right? Kirkland brand. They sell it in Eretz Yisrael now. Like, you know, before COVID, Amazon was delivering here. You had to order $50 worth. The $50 worth, you got free shipping. So, you can get Amazon here. So what are you lacking? Now, I know this is, we're not even talking about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Tefillah, how everything is enhanced when you do it here. And our attitude towards Israel very much is like that question of, am I doing Judaism is like a side thing, which is nice, so like don't get in the way of my life plans, or is it our life? I want to be able to live the greatest and fullest Jewish life that I can. Now, at the same time, I know I'm laying it on heavy right now, I am going to also say that there are many reasons, chinuch, parnasa, many good reasons to live in Chutz La'aretz. And my point here is not that if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're a bum and you're not from and you don't care about Torah. That's not my point. My point is, it has to be something real that you consider. If you end up deciding not, that could be a very justified decision. And then I'm begging you, come for the Yom Tovim and get an apartment here and visit whenever you can and send your kids to Eretz Yisrael. And for your vacations, instead of going to Cancun, come here to Eretz Yisrael. But it should at least be something, especially after learning a sugi like this, you know, where they literally were dying, both in the figurative sense and the literal sense, to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's so easy nowadays, much easier than it was. You know, I'm not that old. You know, I speak to Rav Libor, I ask him what it was like when he came for his year in Israel, how like he didn't make a phone call for like 7 months straight, didn't speak to his family. Now, you know, you're sitting and walking to lunch right now. You can FaceTime with your parents. You can FaceTime with your friends. The world is much, much smaller. The sacrifice of living in Eretz Yisrael is much, much less. And it's something that we all should at least be considering. Everyone have a great day. Yeah.